This is the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. We have assembled the world's finest sports and trivia dorks to prove once and for all that we are just as bad at this as we were at sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 248 of the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, sports trivia for those of us who roll the pine. I'm your host, Matt Takimoto, and today's game will pit the Benchwarmer team of Eric Walling and Matt Doherty against Benchwarmer David Lux and returning guests to the program and assistant coach on Patreon, Byron Grubman. Byron, welcome back. It's good to see you. Why don't you fill us in on how you're doing and who you root for and any of that good stuff?
Thanks. Yeah, I'm glad to be back. Like we were talking about earlier, I'm on the road for work this week. I'm in beautiful San Antonio. That is sarcastic. This place does suck. Doing well.
Not as much as Houston, according to Walling.
That's correct.
Debatable. Less humid, but it sucks. Off season for football, so no reffing. So I'm back to playing hockey. And in terms of who I root for, still the San Francisco Giants, the New York Giants, New York Rangers, and UCLA Bruins.
Awesome. Well, go Giants, go Giants. And thanks for being here. And thank you for supporting us on Patreon. And Mr. Lux, how are you?
I'm good. And I was in San Antonio last July and it was miserable. So Byron, I can't be as bad as it was then. So anyway, Byron and I were discussing team names and stuff we had in common. And so tonight we are going to go as two live Jew.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
No explanation required.
No explanation needed. Okay. And Matt, how are you doing? I think Eric had the team name. So Matt, go first. How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I was in a medical unit in the Army, and like everyone had to go to San Antonio for some sort of medical related thing. For some reason, I never ended up there, but everyone talked about how beautiful and amazing and awesome San Antonio is. What's the beef you guys have with San Antonio? I don't get it. What's wrong with San Antonio?
It's hot and it's full of strip malls and nothing else.
Byron, you live in the Dallas area, don't you?
I live in Austin, which
I was going to say Austin and San Antonio are the only two cities that are like worth anything, and that's godforsaken state. So
Mr. Walling, how are you doing and what is your team name tonight?
Well, I'm hurting now, but thank you for asking. I drafted my historic fantasy baseball league team, the only league in which you can have luminaries like Christy Mathewson, Adrian Beltre, and Denny Walling on the same team.
Denny Walling? Nice.
You took Denny Walling? Really?
Of course I took Denny Walling. Why would I not take Denny Walling? For multiple purposes, but he's a great utility guy. Real glue guy in the clubhouse, too. Then I pulled a muscle this morning in my back making lunch for my kids, so I'm old. Otherwise, things are good. Everything's coming up Millhouse.
What were you making for lunch? Now I need to
I think I was operating a cheese slicer. You know, kids.
Wait, now, what, you were operating a cheese slicer?
Yeah, I was slicing cheese for my daughter. She eats that for her lunches. So,
like, you were using a knife? Or you?
No, like an actual cheese slicer.
The big thing,
like one of the rolling cheese slicers.
Like the rolling blade, and you're like...
like Kramer had. Yeah,
exactly. No, I did not have the deli slicer.
When you say operating something, I'm not talking about a little charcuterie board with a little tiny...
No, it wasn't. It was the handle one that's got the roller on it, and you pull it across. It's all very labor-intensive.
Very fancy over the Walling household.
Yes. That,
you know what we use at the Doherty household? It's called a knife. So
the craft, look, that craft pepper jack isn't going to cut itself.
Literally, they have pre-cut slices. Yes, it is going to cut itself.
It's like a whole dollar more, Matt.
And then I didn't know potato starch around it, so it doesn't melt right. Like, get out of here with that pre-sliced cheese. Yeah.
What are we, the Vander Doherty's? Come on.
All right. Do you have a team name?
We have Texas cities and cheese. But Matt and I are very proud of ourselves because we started scheduling regular things. And last time you were on here, you may have heard us play together saying, listen to the OT when we get a chance to record it. Well, folks, we're here to claim that our team name now is listen to the OT, two in a row on time.
Well done, fellas. Well done. Okay, so we've got two live Jew against listen to the OT, two in a row on time. We've got our teams. Now let's kick it over to Benchwarmer Emeritus Dan for the rules.
The game will consist of four quarters of play, each with different trivia style.
The styles of quarters 1 through 3 will change from show to show, and I will explain them as we go along. Like any good sporting event, we will have a halftime show after the second quarter with entertainment questions. And in the fourth quarter, our teams will wager from their points accumulated to see who are today's clipboard captains, to be honored like the true benchwarmers they are. All right, let's get this game underway.
Okay, and the first quarter will be Sporting Haiku.
Sporting Haikus. For this quarter, there will be 4 questions in haiku form. Each question is worth 25 points.
Are these Eid haikus or like real haikus?
These are real haikus.
Did you count your syllables?
I used to teach the first grade. I literally got paid to count syllables. Friends. All right. Hey. Question 1 in Sporting Haiku. Top pick in 01, MVP 2009, Hall of Fame this year.
We'll check in.
All right. 2 Live Jew has checked in. Listen to the OT 2 in a row on time. Talk it out.
Joe Mauer.
Oh.
What an idiot. Oh, yeah. I can't believe it took me this long to get there.
Okay.
What an idiot. Of course. Right. He was number 1 pick in 09, kind of the Hall of Fame this year. So, yeah, Joe Mauer.
And 2 Live Jew, what did you check in with?
We had Joe Mauer also.
Both teams getting points. Correct answer is Joe Mauer, number 1 pick in 2001, MVP in 2009, voted into the Hall of Fame this year, and very too much Minnesota.
One question. Too much Minnesota.
A one man too much Minnesota.
That's right.
Question 2 of Sporting Haikus. Wyndham Clark Lipout gave him back-to-back titles. First at the Players.
Matt, we can check this in if you
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sure.
We can check it in.
Okay, both teams have checked three, in two, rather one. Quickly. Should we 3-2-1 it? All right, here we go.
Sure.
3-2-1.
Scotty Scheffler.
Both teams getting points. It is Scotty Scheffler, first player ever in the history of the Players' Championship to go back-to-back. I thought that was kind of cool. And a brutal way to lose a tournament for Wyndham Clark. And that wasn't just a lip out. That was like a it came all the way back around, in and out.
Yeah.
And very sad for Wyndham Clark backers because he was like plus 5,000 to win to start the week.
Man. Okay. Moving on to question 3 in Sporting Haikus. Top rank in sumo, also the winner of the 93 Rumble.
We're going to check in.
Listen to the OT 2 in a row on time has checked in. 2 Live Jew, talk it out.
Byron immediately posted Yokozuna. It has to be that. Not his real name, of course, but that doesn't matter. Yeah, we check that in, Byron. You good?
Yeah.
All right, Yokozuna.
And listen to the OT. What did you have?
Was this, I think this was the one where, was it like Macho Man or somebody tried to pin him and he just bench pressed him out of the ring?
Both teams getting points. Correct answer is Yokozuna. Yes, that was the Rumble where Macho Man tried to go for the pin in the Royal Rumble, and then Yokozuna kicked out and threw Macho Man completely out of the ring for the win. Really an incredible moment. And yes, Yokozuna, top rank in sumo, only one American-born person ever to achieve Yokozuna was Akebono, who I didn't realize, like I knew the name Akebono growing up, but I didn't realize he was 6'8".
Yeah. Jeez.
Truly a massive human. Like his at his peak was like 6'8 and 5'15 or something. Truly a specimen. What a unit. All right. The final question in Sporting Haikus. Only quarterback drafted lower than round 2 to win AP Roy.
I'm good with it if you are.
Let's go ahead and check it in.
Okay. Listen to the OT 2 in a row on time has checked in. 2 Live Jew. Talk it out.
I think we got a beat on somebody. We're just trying to remember if all the facts line up, but I think it's Dak Prescott. Yeah.
Yeah. I tossed around Russell Wilson just cause I couldn't remember when he, you know, where he got drafted. He was instantly good, you know, kind of out of the wrapper, but Dak was definitely a 4th round pick and had an instant impact. So we can check that in if you're comfortable with it.
Okay. We'll check in that.
Okay. And listen to the OT. What'd you have?
Ditto. We had ditto. Because we had the very same conversation.
And both teams getting points for that ditto. Correct answer is Dak Prescott, fourth round pick. The only other quarterback who wasn't a first round pick to win Offensive Rookie of the Year in the AP was Buffalo Bills legend Dennis Shaw in 1970. And
legend, outside that's of an that, interesting use of that right. word.
And the only other quarterback drafted outside the top 10 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year is Ben Roethlisberger. Oh. Every other quarterback to win Offensive Rookie of the Year was drafted in the top 10. All right. After the first quarter, we are 4-for-4 on both sides. We are tied up at 100.
We wanted to let you know that we are on Patreon if you'd be interested in supporting us financially. Your contributions will be used to help us cover the costs that it takes to bring you the high-quality sports trivia that you have come to expect from us. There are also some great perks that come with the Patreon membership to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, including bonus episodes and Benchwarmer swag. You can find us at patreon.com/benchwarmerstp. Thanks.
The second quarter will be pre and post game.
Pre and post game. For this quarter, there will be four before and after style questions. For example, if I said, what all-time leader in receptions for the Indianapolis Colts was a Notre Dame safety drafted by the Minnesota Vikings? The answer would be Marvin Harrison Smith. Each question is worth 25 points.
Question number one in pre and post game. Namesake of the arena that hosts the finals of the Australian Open, and one-time Pro Bowl wide receiver who, while at Florida State in 1999, was arrested for grand theft and dismissed from the team after accepting clothes from a Dillard's department store at a steep discount.
We're going to check in.
Okay, listen to the OT two in a row on time has checked in. Two Live Jew, talk it out.
We were on it the first time. When you said the really long name, you got me there. It was between two tennis players that were the namesake of the arena that hosts the finals, either Rod Laver or Margaret Court. But when you said really long name, I'm pretty sure it's Rod Lavernius Coles.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Well done. Good job. And I'm glad it's Rod Laver, not Margaret Court. She's a horrible person.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So we're checking in Rod Lavernius Coles.
Correct.
Okay. And listen to the OT. What did you check in?
And we also checked in with Rod Lavernius Coles.
Both teams getting points. Correct answer is Rod Lavernius Coles.
Yeah, I brought up Margaret Court because I was like, wait, Cortland Sutton. I was like, no, it's way too early. Yeah,
that's the same thing I said was up. I was it previously named after Margaret Court? And then
no, she has one of the like the side ones or something is named after her.
Okay.
Yeah. But every court is named after Margaret Court, if you think about it.
She is selfish.
Among other things.
She's horrible.
Homophobic, transphobic.
She's a bad person. She is all of that.
FTL.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if you choose to use that last initial, that's one way to go with right. it.
FTG for gal.
There you go. FTG yeah. for gal.
Right, because otherwise she's Fort Lauderdale. Yeah.
All right. Question two in pre and post game. The other Florida State wide receiver who was arrested in 1999 at Dillard's, though he was not dismissed from the team and ended up being drafted number 4 overall by the Bengals in 2000, and one of the two point guards drafted ahead of Steph Curry by the Minnesota Timberwolves in 2009.
Yeah, we can check that in.
Two Live Jew is checking in. Listen to the OT. Talk it up.
We were ready to check in as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just watching the old Florida State documentary the other day and remember how great this guy was. So we're going to check in with Peter War Ricky Rubio.
And Two Live Jew, what'd you have?
Yeah, the previous question, Peter Warwick was the first wide receiver I thought of when you said the guy who got dismissed from the team in 99. And then, yeah, there was, you know, I don't want to say he was a flash in the pan. He had a pretty good career, but Ricky Rubio was a hot commodity coming out of Spain. So yeah, Peter War Ricky Rubio.
Both teams getting points. Correct answer is Peter War Ricky Rubio. Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, Ricky Rubio got a lot of pub from the 08 Olympics, played really well in the 08 Olympics. He and Rudy Fernandez secured a big bag via that Olympics. Question number three in pre and post game. The other point guard taken ahead of Steph Curry by the Minnesota Timberwolves in 2009, and one of two American women's tennis players who have won exactly three Grand Slams in the Open era, her last one coming at the Australian Open in 2000.
We're going to check in.
Two Live Jew has checked in. Listen to the OT two in a row on time. Talk it out.
Lindsay.
Lindsay, what was it? Hayden or Lindsay? I can see her face.
Think. Me too. Davenport?
Lindsay Davenport.
Yeah, okay. Johnny Flinzy Davenport. Check it in.
And Two Live Jew, what'd you have?
Same thing. We had a lead on Johnny Flynn somehow. I couldn't remember the name, but I had this memory that went back about 30 seconds. Yeah, called a hunch. Yeah, so then we got quickly to Johnny Flinzy Davenport.
All right, and both teams getting points. Correct answer is Johnny Flinzy Davenport, which is very fun to say.
It is. A good one.
The final question in pre and post game. The other American women's tennis player with exactly three Grand Slams in the Open era, her last one coming at the Australian Open in 2002, and one of two wide receivers to play both college football at Oregon State and make a Pro Bowl as a Cincinnati Bengal.
We'll check in.
Two Live Jew has checked in. Listen to the OT two in a row. Talk it out.
So Jennifer. If it's Jennifer Capriati. Capriati.
T. Higgins.
And one of two wide receivers to play college football at Oregon State and make a Pro Bowl.
Did he transfer from Oregon State to Clemson before, I guess?
Yeah, because he wasn't drafted out of Oregon State, was he? No.
I thought he would. No, he got drafted at Clemson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I can't think of another.
Jennifer Capriati Higgins.
Okay. And Two Live Jew, what did you have?
So we went against medical professional advice, went back to front on this one, and came up with Jennifer Capriati J. Hushmanzada.
One team is getting points. Correct answer is Jennifer Capriati J. Hushmanzada. Very nicely done. Yeah, T. Higgins was his only other school. He might have been at Tennessee before he went to Clemson, but he definitely was not at Oregon State.
That was T. Martin, like 30 years prior.
Also true. TJ Hushmanzada was there with Chad Ochocinco. He was the other one if I had continued this pre and post game ladder that I was on here. And And Jennifer Capriati, I was just listening to a previous Byron episode and Jennifer Capriati was an answer on it. And I went, uh-oh. But then I left it in anyway because I'm lazy.
I don't even remember it, so.
Well, there you go. All right. At the end of the second quarter, Two Live Jew has 200, and listen to the OT two in a row on time has 175.
The ladder was awesome.
I had this dream about having it like loop back on itself, like Ouroboros, and just like, you know, have it eat its own head, and the last part of the last question would be the first part of the first question previous. But
in Norse myth, when that happens, the world ends. So you don't want the
sure.
You know,
we call that Ragnarok.
The Ragnarok.
Yeah, we don't want right. Benchwarmers Ragnarok.
It's now time for halftime.
It is now time for the halftime show. There will be three entertainment questions pertaining to sports, with each question worth 25 points.
All right, for halftime, we are going to be doing a movie athlete curriculum vitae. So I'm going to give you the career resume of a fictional movie athlete. You tell me the athlete.
Ooh, I like this.
Question number one in halftime. Catcher, former All-Star with Boston. Knee injuries relegated him to playing in the Mexican leagues. Career resurgence in Cleveland is later named the Indians' interim manager.
Check in.
Two Live Jew has checked in. Listen to the OT. Talk it out.
Now I got to think of the character's name. I'm completely spacing.
Pretty sure it's Jake Taylor.
Oh, Jake Taylor. Yeah.
That's yeah. Right. I'm pretty sure I have an autograph back here above the Denny Walling Texas Rangers game used jersey. Is a Jake Taylor autographed Major League Indians jersey. Nice. So we'll just, I think Jeopardy rules apply here. So we'll just check in with Taylor. Is that right? Can we do that? All right. I'm getting a nod.
That is your prerogative.
It's your prerogative.
I've talked to the producers at Jeopardy. That's allowed. And to Live Jew, what did you check in with?
Yeah, that was once I heard Mexican League, I knew that was Jake Taylor.
Both teams getting points. That is Indians legend Jake Taylor.
He's on a Mexican radio.
We got uniforms and everything.
Mm-hmm. Question two of halftime in movie athlete curriculum vitae. Star youth hockey player changes teams mid-season after district boundary error is discovered. Wins gold with Team USA. Plays prep hockey at Eden Hall Academy.
Check it in.
Listen to the OT has checked in. Two Live Jew, talk it out.
It's going quick. Yep, go ahead, Byron.
Yeah, I checked it in after starting the hockey player. And a little flavor text on this that may not be in here is since I've started playing hockey, there's actually a company that makes hockey bags called Banks Conway. And so this is Banks.
Listen to the OT. What did you check in with?
You left out the most important part where he eats cake.
Well, he is a cake eater.
Adam Banks.
Both teams correct. The cake eater himself, Adam Banks.
I've never watched any of those movies, so.
I got you covered, Matt. Don't worry about it.
Good,
the
yeah.
The first two are great. The third one is fine.
It's knuckle puck time.
Cake eaters with the Minnesota State High School hockey game or series going on last weekend. My favorite was the TikTok that said that all the outstate teams hate the Metro teams. All the Metro teams hate the private schools, and everybody hates Edina. So, because Edina is the cake eater. So,
that's one odd, like, niche sporting event that I definitely want to attend before I die. Like, I've been to the Texas State football championships. I want to go to the Minnesota State hockey championships.
It's, on a Thursday when small schools are all playing and the Xcel Energy Center is completely filled. The tickets are like impossible to get. So,
it's on my bucket list. This year I'm going to the Kentucky Derby. One of these years I want to go to the Minnesota State hockey tournament.
Do you have a hat picked out?
I have two. I'm going for both days.
Nice.
I heard it's
nice.
Really all easy right. to get tickets to the master's degree, master's degree, to the master's, unless your name is Walling. So,
yeah.
Apparently, I've been on that list for like
me in the nuts all game
7 years. And I haven't
actually, Matt, that's where you're wrong. Denny Walling goes every year.
Well, he's a luminary.
That's right.
And the final question in movie athlete CV halftime: soccer style kicker, graduated Collier High School, June 1976. Stetson University honors graduate, class of 1980. Holds two NCAA Division I records, one for most points in a season, one for distance. Former nickname the Mule, the first and only professional athlete ever to come out of Collier County, and one hell of a model American.
Check in.
Two Live Jew has checked in. Listen to the OT. Talk it out.
The hell? Okay.
I need a second to process that. Can you sing some Billy Ocean to me?
The Mule.
Out of my dreams and into my car.
This isn't the movie where the actual donkey kicks the. I don't know. I have no idea. Soccer style kicker.
Stetson
University.
Is this? Let me think of where. Oh, is this from Ace Ventura? Is this Ray Finkel?
Oh, there you go.
Isn't that what his mom says? When they go to visit his house, that he's one hell of a model American.
So it's Ray Finkel. Okay.
I think it's Finkel or Einhorn. Which one is acceptable?
There you go.
I'll go with both Finkel, Einhorn. Is that acceptable for Jeopardy rules? Finkel.
I'm not allowed to say.
Check it in. Finkel, check it in.
All right, checking in with Finkel. And Two Live Jew, what did you check in with?
So I will say we're going to have to, for the first time ever, dock the host points for not inhaling deeply and saying that all in one breath, a la Ace Ventura. But yeah, no, that's Ray Finkel.
Both teams getting points. I didn't want to do that and give it away here.
I'll do it now.
Here we go. Do it now. Ready? Soccer style kicker, graduated Collier High School, June 1976. Stetson University honors graduate, class of 1980. Holds two NCAA Division I records, one for most points in the season, one for distance. Former nickname the Mule, the first and only professional athlete ever to come out of Collier County, and one hell of a model American.
Wow. Nice job.
These are in the points back, folks.
I also want to applaud Matt for the mid 70s movie reference of Gus, the kicker. Worst movies ever made, but I applaud that anyway.
I thought for sure Gus graduated like early 70s, so I didn't think that could count.
All right. At the end of halftime, the scores have changed, but the deficit has stayed the same. Too Loud Jew has 275. Listen to the OT two in a row on time has 250. That brings us to the third quarter, which is Lucky Seven.
Lucky Seven. For this quarter, there will be three lists containing seven items. The team that is trailing coming into the quarter will choose the first list and attempt to identify the items on this list one at a time. If the team has an incorrect guess, the other team can attempt to finish that list out. The team leading at the beginning of the quarter will select the second list, and whichever team is trailing after the first two lists will get the third list. Each item is worth 10 points.
Listen to the OT will be getting the first list by the hair on their T. Higgins. Okay, the three lists in this Lucky Seven are as follows. The seven teams with the most wins in the history of the Rose Bowl game, the first seven players to join the 500 home run club, and the last seven unique Masters champions. Listen to the OT two in a row on time. You've got the first list from those three.
All right, we're going to do the last seven unique Masters champions.
Okay, listen to the OT's taking the last seven unique Masters champions. So you've got some time to work on that while Two Live Jew strategizes, and check in when you're ready.
Matt has come up with all seven of them, so I think we are ready to check in.
Okay. Listen to the OT two in a row on time is checking in with their attempt at the last seven unique Masters champions. So rattle them off one at a time when you're ready.
Try to do them in order. Last year was John Rahm.
John Rahm was the champion in 2023.
And Scottie Scheffler.
Scottie Scheffler won in 2022.
And then one of the best pictures of all time, his caddy bowing to the course, Hideki Matsuyama.
Hideki Matsuyama is the 2021 Masters champion.
And then I always get these two flip-flop, but I think right before that was Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson was 2020.
Okay, and then famously, Tiger.
Eldrick Woods was 2019.
And then the most hated golfer in the world, Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed in 2018.
And the second most hated golfer in the world, Sergio Garcia.
And Sergio Garcia in a playoff over Justin Rose in 2017. That was 7 for 7 in order. Very impressively done, Matt Doherty.
So glad that I could be like so helpful.
I want to clarify. I thought you said the last seven Masters winners that Eric Walling has personally won.
Observed. Joke's on you. The answer is nobody.
Oh, 7 for 7 again.
7 for 7.
So it is now to Two Live Jew. Would you like the first seven players in the 500 home run club or the seven teams with the most wins in the history of the Rose Bowl?
We're going to take the 500 home run guys.
I knew it.
Okay. So Two Live Jew will take the first seven players to join the 500 home run club. And you've got some time to work on that list.
We'll check in.
Okay. Two Live Jew is ready with the first seven players to join the 500 home run club. Give them to me one at a time.
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth is correct. He was the first member of the 500 home run club.
These might not be quite in order, but the next two are Mel Ott and Jimmy Fox for sure in some order.
Mel Ott and Jimmy Fox are both correct. Fox was the second to do it. Ott was the third.
Fourth is Ted Williams.
Ted Williams was indeed fourth, June 17th, 1960.
Okay, the next two I might have backwards again, but it's Willie Mays, then Mickey Mantle.
Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle are both correct. Mays was first in 65, then Mantle in 67.
And I'm pretty sure Eddie Matthews beat Hank Aaron to the punch, so we will go Eddie Matthews.
Eddie Matthews is number seven on the list, July 14th, 1967. Hank Aaron hit his 500th exactly 1 year later, on July 14th, 1968. 7 for 7 there. Wow, we are just out here rolling.
They were there for all of them.
My goodness gracious. Yeah,
exactly. No fair. David had tickets to each of those games.
I sold my ticket outside the stadium for a couple of those.
All right. That means the scores currently stand 2 Live Jew at 345. Listen to the OT at 320. So listen to the OT. You get first crack at the 7 teams with the most wins in the history of the Rose Bowl.
We're going to check in.
Okay, listen to the OT 2 in a row on time is checking in with their shot at the 7 teams with the most wins in the history of the Rose Bowl game. Give them to me.
All right. I'm pretty sure USC has got to be up there with a bullet.
USC is number 1. They have 25 wins in the Rose Bowl.
5? So how many of the Rose Bowls have there been? Like 120? So you're talking like, holy cow, like 20-some percent.
More than 25.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Pretty close.
109, so says
my Jeez, list. So like 24%. I'm not good at math, but close to that. Ohio State.
Ohio State is in the top 7. They have 9 wins.
Okay. Ooh. Wait, where are they in the...
They are tied for 2nd.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Oh,
there is quite a precipitous
it's a drop.
There's
yeah.
quite a gap between USC and everybody else.
Okay, let's go. If Ohio State's got to be there, then Michigan has to be there.
Michigan is the other team with 9 Rose Bowl wins.
Of course, they're tied.
Yeah, right. All right, then we're going to go with Washington.
Washington is tied for 4th with 7 wins.
Okay, all right. Tied. Oh, okay. So, yeah. All right. We have the next 3 picked out, and we're just going to go down this order, the same order that I have it in.
Yeah, that's fine, unless you want to throw the last the
oddball
name on
one
in
now.
Right now. Yeah, it's your call.
So, all right, we thought there has to be an oddball in here that it couldn't just all be Big Ten and Pac-12 or whatever, whatever. So, thinking that this team's played in a lot of playoff games and the Big Ten has been a part of the playoff process or been a part of the BCS or whatever for quite a few years now, and thinking that maybe the bottom would be somewhere like around the 5, 6, 7, 8. We went with Alabama.
Alabama is tied for 6th.
Hey!
5 Rose Bowl wins.
Game
though,
theory.
Though not for the reasons you said. They only have 1 win in the BCS or playoff era in the Rose Bowl.
Would they win one like way back in the day they won a
They bowl? Have. They also have wins in 1926, Oof. 1931, 1935, and 1946.
1946?
Horse-drawn carriages with football gear.
That's why it was a month between the end of the season and the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
a month to get there.
They're jumping. They're riding the rails like some
They lost all their special teams players to dysentery.
We get to Liberty, That's Missouri, awesome. And they're on
writing
their
down,
own.
Writing down the episode title: Your special teams has died of dysentery.
That's
okay.
Awesome.
All right. We got 2 more, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Let's go. Just going to game theory these last 2. Stanford.
Stanford is tied for 4th with 7 wins.
UCLA.
UCLA is tied for 6th.
Hey.
With 5
hey.
Wins.
Look at
us.
Nice
wow.
job, man.
Wow. Okay. So that was 3 7-for-7s in a lucky 7. That was something else. And that means we've got ourselves a lead change heading into the 4th quarter. Listen to the OT 2 in a row on time with those 2 7-for-7 lists is up to 390. 2 Live Jew is at 345. It is now time for the 4th quarter.
The 4th quarter, known as Put Your Fours Up. This quarter consists of 4 categorized questions that teams will wager up to 100 points each, not to exceed their current point total.
Tonight's 4th quarter is the 2nd in my Continental Series, and we are staying close to home. And all of the 4th quarter questions will be about North America. Here are your categories: soccer, baseball, hockey, and we'll call it sports-related North American geography. It is now time for the teams to place their wagers.
We'd like to take a minute to invite you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BenchwarmersTP.
We also have a Facebook group for fans of the pod called The Bench. Join us there to comment on the latest episodes and share cool sports facts and trivia. If you'd be willing to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher, we'd greatly appreciate the support so that other people may find this podcast. Thanks.
Now that the wagers are in, on to the questions. Question number one in the fourth quarter. In our Continental Series, all in North America, category is soccer. This footballer is the current leader in international goals with 190 in an international career spanning from 2000 to 2023.
Check it in.
Okay. Listen to the OT two in a row on time has checked in. Two Live Jew, talk it out.
Oh, man. We were exactly at the wrong part of the conversation because, I mean, a 23-year career seems way more likely to be a woman. Originally, Byron said Alex Morgan. I was like, wait a minute. No, yeah. 23 years doesn't make any sense. She would have been like 11 when she started. She's not that old. There's a Canadian woman, and she plays. The only reason I know of her is she plays. First of all, she's been around forever, but she also plays for Portland. And that's the only sort of women's soccer that I follow outside of international soccer. Her name is...
I think their time is up now.
No, he's got to, you know, break into the deluxe apartment. To a
deluxe apartment in the sky. Sinclair. Christian? No.
We don't need the first name.
That's true. Sinclair. We'll check in with Sinclair.
How many points?
I have 45. No idea. Oh, thank you.
And listen to the OT. What did you check in with?
Yeah. Christine Sinclair. For 100 points.
Both teams getting their points. Correct answer is Christine Sinclair. Yes, Canadian goal scorer. Well ahead of the men's leader in international goals, which is Cristiano Ronaldo at like 126 or something. Just concluded her career at the 2023 Women's World Cup. All right. After the first question in the fourth quarter, listen to the OT has expanded their lead. It is now 490 to 390, but still a lot of points left on the board. Question number two in the category of North American baseball. And this one is a David question. So strip
all right,
in.
Here we go.
Buckle in, folks.
Yep.
There are three Mexican born pitchers with over 300 career starts in the MLB. One is a two-time All-Star, whose best season came with the White Sox in 2003 when he went 21-9, led the AL with 207 strikeouts, and was runner-up to Roy Halladay for the Cy Young. Another spent his first eight seasons in Milwaukee, striking out 200 batters in four straight seasons from 2009 to 2012 and making his only All-Star game in 2010. The third is Fernando Valenzuela. Name either of the other two.
We will check it.
Okay, listen to the OT has checked in. Two Live Jew, talk it up.
I know I put that in the chat. I'm not certain about it, but
I'm pretty sure he's Mexican. So my first thought when he started talking about Mexican born pitchers, maybe this is just the era that I grew up on. The first name that occurred to me was Teddy Higuera, but maybe he didn't have 300 starts. I just remembered him being really good for a while, but I think he just got hurt, and he was a Brewer, but way before the 2009 to 2012. So I think Loaiza makes a ton of sense. And
I'll think of the other one whose like face I can literally see that.
Well, he says either of the other two. We don't need them both.
I know. Let's check in with that one.
You're just flexing then? Is that what you're saying? All right. Let's do it.
So which one are you checking in with and for how many points?
Esteban Loaiza for 100.
And listen to the OT. What did you check in with?
Yeah. So I'll go for the other one. Former Ranger great after he was a Brewer. Former member of the Trimble Technical High School Bulldog team from the Fort Worth ISD that used to play against my Western Hills High School team, Yovani Gallardo. Check in for 100 points.
Oh, for 100 points. Both teams getting those 100 points. Those were the two, Esteban Loaiza and Yovani Gallardo. Nicely done. The third was Fernando Valenzuela.
I'm glad I didn't go with the guy whose face I could see in a Mexican WBC uniform. Because I typed it to David right after. I was like, is this Mel Valdez? And thankfully, I didn't come up with that faster.
And just because I looked it up just now, because I was curious, Teddy Higuera has 205 starts. A few years short, 3 or 4 years
yeah,
short.
Yeah, I like him. He must have had injury problems that I don't remember. I just remember him being really good.
Yeah, he only played 9 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the name that I came up with too.
He did play all of them with Milwaukee, so he had a Gallardo plus one. Okay, the penultimate question in the fourth quarter in the category of North American hockey.
Did you say the penultimate
hockey question? The penultimate question. Penultimate means second to last.
It's a penal.
I guess we're on a show recently, and Matt questioned.
This has been your vocabulary minute with the Mentalist Trivia Podcast.
This is the third time that I questioned him on that.
Maybe.
Is penultimate something from WrestleMania?
Yes, penultimate is WrestleMania
all the time.
Introducing the penultimate warrior.
that's very good. Yeah. All right. Question three, category North American hockey. The last time Canada faced the United States in Olympics hockey with NHL players on rosters was the semifinals in 2014, a 1-0 win for Canada. The only goal scored in that game was by a player with the second most goals in Dallas Stars history. And the goalie who shut out the U.S. team would win the Vezina and the Hart trophies the following season playing for a Canadian team. Name either player.
We're going to check in.
All right. Two Live Jew has checked in. Listen to the OT 2 in a row on time. Talk it out.
Okay. I have 2 stars that I can think of that played for a long time. But I think Tyler Seguin is American, right? First name that popped in my head for the Stars was Jamie Benn because he played for forever and he scored some goals. I don't know why I thought he was American for a while. I want to say that when the U.S. beat them 1-0, it was like Jonathan Quick who was the goalie.
Jonathan Quick was Bishop. The U.S.'s goalie.
Right.
You know what? I wrote down Price. Price was the backup goalie for the U.S.
We only have to name one. Can you think of the goalie? Because I'm only kind of...
I thought I had a...
I mean, I know that Modano is number one for the Stars, so we can just rule him out. He was not playing in... He may have still been playing in 2014, but he's definitely number one, not number two. Canadian goalies. Aren't they all Canadian? Isn't everybody in the
NHL they were.
Canadian,
yeah.
Technically?
I thought I had known most of the Vezina guys, and now I'm having this brain
block. Is that one made out of stainless steel, or...
Everybody's Canadian and every trophy is stainless steel.
Yeah.
What's the name that you had for the
Jamie Benn? I like him better than Tyler Seguin. Those are the two that
makes sense.
Popped
yeah.
up. Seguin would have been super new around that time. Like if he might have been a rookie around then, which would not have been enough to get him on a Olympic team.
I thought I would know this one based off of the Vezina, but
well, you want to go with Jamie Benn?
Jamie Benn.
Because I think that's it from the Stars angle. So we'll check that in for 90 points.
And to Liju, what did you check in?
Only from listening to this podcast, Madonna was like runaway number one and an American. So that wouldn't have worked. So we checked in with Ben.
For how many points?
100.
Well, both teams are getting their points. Correct answer is, one half of the correct answer is Jamie Benn. He scored the only goal in that game and then went on to win the Art Ross Trophy the next season. And then the Vezina Trophy winner in 2014-15, he didn't just play for a Canadian team. He played for the Canadiens. It is Carey Price.
Yeah.
I
thought that we were going back and forth between Price and Luongo.
Luongo was the backup on that team.
That's what, I knew that was during his heyday, and he played for the Canucks.
Yep.
Why did I think that Price was American?
That was those goalies were Ryan Miller and Jonathan Quick, I believe.
Yes, Ryan Miller. That's right.
Tyler Seguin, top 5 scorer in Dallas Stars.
Is he really?
Yes.
I didn't realize he'd been there that long. I knew he spent like 4 or 5 years at Boston before coming over.
Right, right below Dino Cicerelli.
I love his pizza.
All right,
Jamie Benn with the worst hockey stick tape job in the NHL. It's just like one strip of tape around near the toe, and it's just disgusting.
Good enough. Okay, with 1 question to go, it is still anybody's game. Listen to the OT 2 in a row on time has 680, 2 Live Jew, 590. So it does all come down to this last question in the category of sports-related North American geography. And I'm going to watch David Lux's face to see if I steal his question. In 1931, a small town in North Dakota erected a stone monument and declared itself the geographical center of North America. It's about 150 miles from the actual geographical center of North America, but that's not important right now. The name of that town is the name of a sport, though a sport that is not particularly popular in North America. A North American professional championship in this sport was won in 2023 by the New England Free Jacks, and the school with the most national championships in this sport is Cal. Name the sport.
Check in.
Did I steal it?
No, but I had, this is not the question I thought you were going to ask, but I check in.
Yeah. David's going through a lot here, guys.
I'm glad he's rage quitting after checking in with the answer that I don't know.
All right. Two Live Jew has checked in very quickly. Listen to the OT. Talk it out.
Sure.
I think for some reason I remember... I may have some. So, Taco, you wrote this. You said it's 150 miles from the actual geographic center of North America. Where, according to your thing, is wherever you researched this, is the actual geographic center of North America?
Somewhere else in North Dakota. But in the 1930s, this town in North Dakota declared itself the center and made a monument to attract tourists.
What was the name of the town that made the monument?
There's a roadside sign in north central Wisconsin that says that it's the geographic center of the North America. So that's cool. Near Abbotsford, Wisconsin. So
typical Americans, they all think they're the center of the
Oh, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
I am the center of
keep talking the about this the wrong topic while your time takes down. Hell yeah,
there let's you go. I don't care. The guess that I have is rugby, because thinking of something, New England Free Jacks for some reason made me, something popped in my brain about rugby. So,
well, and then not if it's particularly popular in North America. So,
and if there's some schools, they said that Cal has the most national championships. I do know that Cal has national championships in rugby, because that's like one sport they seem to be able to beat Stanford in.
Because everyone can run on the field at all times.
There you go.
It's not hurling North Dakota or rounders North Dakota or.
And you got anything better?
No, I absolutely do not. It's not Aussie Rules Football.
I know that
North Dakota.
Fact.
Okay.
Yeah, Aussie Rules Football North Dakota would be very interesting. Yeah. Town name.
Then sure, because I really, if you have even an inkling, that's more than what I have. So go for it.
We're gonna go with rugby for 100 points.
And Two Live Jew, what did you check in with?
We checked in with cheese rolling North Dakota. No, we checked in with rugby North Dakota also.
And both teams are getting their points. This is the town of Rugby, North Dakota. Very good. All right, the game has come to an end. Here are our final scores. Two Live Jew, who I'm pretty sure did not miss a question, has 690 points. However, our clipboard captains receiving the coveted Chris Winkie Award are, listen to the OT, two in a row on time with 780 points.
Yay. Failure will get you everywhere, kids.
Very nicely played, everybody. Byron, you're our guest tonight. Is there anything you'd like to say to the listenership?
I know. I can honestly say I know exactly how Harvey Haddix feels right now. You know, we threw a perfect game, still lost. stakes were exactly the same. Now we got to, you know, do something about this lucky seven. Yeah, you know, this unfair.
To,
it's unfair.
To bring this to the rules committee.
Yeah,
it wasn't so bad when people were playing gamesmanship with it, but the second the Lux rules, all of a sudden,
I did think about I did think about telling Dave to kick one of those so that we could,
yeah,
so we could get the last one. But no, I always have a blast hanging out with you guys. It's been a minute, but I'm glad to be back, and you know, happy to come back whenever you guys need a player.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you, and thank you again for your support on Patreon. And if you're listening, we would love you to support us on Patreon if you're not doing so already. And thank you to everyone out there who is already supporting us on Patreon. Anything else from the bench warmers for the good of the order before we get out of here?
Listen to the OT.
Listen to the OT. On time. For Matt and Eric and David and the rest of the bench warmers, I have been Taco. This is the Bench Warmers Trivia Podcast. And until next time, we'll keep the bench warm.
That ball hit high and deep. Stretch! Stretch! Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes! Yes! Yeah.
into deep left center for Mitchell. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That great music you're listening to is by Justin Nozick. Thanks to him for producing that music for us. You've been listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Make sure to check us out on all of our social media. We are at Benchwarmers TP.